You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Bishop, Reverend, Apostle, Prophet, now we got new ones, servant, leader. Why are we so desirous of a title? Because you don't have one at home. If you have a title at home, you don't need one in church. And I'm sure you've been called something. I know that's not good English. My mother used to say there's an ing. But what are the two things that he uses? Number one, we talked about this, the Jezebel spirit. Two times that name is mentioned in 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and then secondly in Revelation. Not the same woman. It has nothing to do, the Jezebel spirit has nothing to do with lust and sex. It has everything to do with control. It comes from a person who refuses to be under accountability to anyone. And I gave you some things to look out for. The second one is the Absalom spirit. Now, the Absalom spirit's a little more insidious than the Jezebel spirit because you don't always recognize that one. But there are 12 stages of the Absalom spirit that you need to be aware of prior to the war. You see, Satan sends out recon to find out where you're vulnerable. So maybe there are a group of you not speaking to each other. Satan says, all right, now, I got a hole to come through. We got saints in church praising God but not speaking to each other. I said this morning, do you know the Bible says the only thing that will keep God from forgiving you is when you don't forgive somebody else? I want you to examine the dynamic of that passage. If you do not forgive others, listen, God cannot forgive you. Because a person whose heart is so hard that they cannot forgive others cannot receive forgiveness. So he cannot forgive you. And I want you to know, if you are indifferent towards someone, that's just as bad. That's a Wednesday Bible study because we need dialogue about that. Because I know there's some people in here right now saying, look, they had no meaning in my life and I could care less if they get up or not. There's a problem. You are not made to be indifferent. It is not possible for you to be indifferent. You may be trying to force yourself to be that way by determining they have no meaning in my life and it doesn't matter to me what happens to them. And then Christians will always preface it with, I love them. Then how can you be indifferent? Because the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. To not care means you don't love. Now, I'm not talking about if somebody says, I'm going to the store, and you say, oh, I don't care, go ahead. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about not caring about them. And that's illustrated by a myriad of things. I'm not going to go into all that. I ain't fooling with you. But I'm going to make some enemies. All right, so here are the 12 stages. Number one, the Absalom spirit develops an independent spirit. And they do not wish to serve. The first stage of the Absalom spirit is they don't wish to serve unless they're in leadership. Now, it's my philosophy that every leader needs to serve in some capacity. You need to do something to wash feet because it will keep you humble when you're on the other side. Okay, number two. Self-promotion. They like recognition and praise. We do this and we're innocent with it. We go up to a person and say, the Lord used you today. You just tore that thing up. Man, God was in the building. You have become some kind of preacher, teacher. Now, listen to the response. God once told me, he said, son, it's okay if people think you're great as long as you don't. Because you can't stop people from feeling what they feel. But don't you become that way. And so you listen to their response. People say that stuff to me. Here's what I say. Thank you. I'm glad you were blessed. But then you have people, yeah, and I ain't even study. I didn't even have to prepare. I just opened my mouth and it came out. Right, Doc? There are more people in the pastorate by the so-called prophecy of others than the leading of God. I see the Lord's hand in your life. God's hand is in everybody's life. Self-promotion, recognition, praise. Number three, spiritual pride. That's identified by I can do it better. I can do it better. Pastor has so-and-so over there doing such and such, but I can do it better. Oh, you Absalom. Number four, they develop an offended spirit. People who move in spiritual pride are constantly offended. They're offended by where the ushers sit them. They're offended by the songs the choir sings. I don't know, Rob keeps singing that same song all the time. I know why they're saying it, because his wife is directing the choir. I don't know why Pastor allows that. You develop an offended spirit. Number five, you develop a critical spirit. You begin questioning the leadership of the ministry. It's critical. Just everything is wrong. Pastor wants to start at 11 o'clock now. That's an extra half an hour. I got to get up early. I don't understand why he got to do that. When we were doing communion twice a month at the Lord's direction, people were upset with me. Well, I can't be back here to take communion. Why don't you have it in the daytime? So like any rational pastor, I went to God. And I said, Father, they want me to have communion in the daytime so they can share communion. It didn't matter to me. I'm here either way. And he first time, he said, no, first and fourth. I said, okay, Father. And I went back, and I didn't give any answer to the person. I just kept going first and fourth. Then it happened again. Somebody else complained. Called the church. Complained. Called me. Complained. Oh, Pastor, I don't know why. You can't do this. Okay, praise the Lord. Went to God. Father, he said, no, son. This time it was like really loving. I knew I was in trouble. And he said, no, son, first and fourth. I said, okay, thank you, Father. Then I had it one more time. And I went to God. He said, don't ask me again. I said, okay, stopped asking. And people get offended when they don't get their way. Then all of a sudden, the Lord is leading me out. Absalom spirits. They challenge the leadership. Number six, Absalom spirit develops a competitive spirit. They misrepresent the decisions of the pastor, and they seek to think higher of themselves. They develop a competitive spirit. And we compete in our ministry sometimes. Oh, I got to sell more tickets than you, or I have to sell more chicken than you, or I have to, you know, it's a competitiveness. Absalom loves competition when we're all one. Number seven, Absalom loves to sow strife and division by keeping people fighting against each other. Absalom loves to make you like who he likes and hate who he hates, even though the person hasn't done anything to you. Number eight, they accuse the leadership of not being spiritual. Absalom stood before the gates of the city and told the people, David, don't listen to you. I will. Come join my church. I'll make you chairman of the deacon board. I'll make you a walking deacon. God already made you walking. I can never understand that. The Sam Hill is a walking deacon. How else are you supposed to get around? It's like people saying, stand on your feet. Where else are you supposed to stand? You know what? If you just stood up and said, please stand, I bet you everybody would stand on their feet. I don't think anyone would flip over and stand on their hands. We'll say, come on, everybody stand on your feet. Why is that necessary? You know me. I hate redundancy. We're about to pre-board the plane. The plane is pre-boarded. It's empty. Pre. I ain't going no further. It makes me angry. I'm sorry. We're having a Christian skating party. What's a Christian? Is there an unchristian skating part? Why can't we just have a skating party and assume that Christians are coming? Number 9, open disloyalty and division. When Absalom feels that people are finally following him, he then begins to develop open loyalty and division. In other words, they will go to the leader and say, I got a group of people who agree with me. Absalom loves the phrase, just ask so-and-so. Just ask so-and-so. That suggests that they are in your corner. Why don't you ever say, go ask someone who doesn't agree with you? Absalom loves agreement. He hates to be put into the position of having to prove. Absalom loves innuendo and slander. So then he comes with open disloyalty and division. Number 10, then there is the bold conspiracy. And in this stage, Absalom justifies his conspiracy by focusing their attention on all the minor issues that he has found to be at fault with him. Minor issues. Pastor said nobody can dance down at the altar. Ain't that some stuff? We've been dancing down there for 30 years. And he going all of a sudden, him going to say, I know what I'm saying. I got to reach my people. All of a sudden, him going to say, we can't dance down there no more. Then he going to get up and sing, if you feel like you want to scream. And as long as you do it in your seat, scream on. But do you understand that in my role as priest to Bethel, and Bethel's priest to God, do you understand that there are times God communicates to me and doesn't tell me why? Like he says, okay, he told me not to change first and fourth Sunday. It was communion. Then all of a sudden, in prayer, he says, make first Sunday night healing and deliverance. I didn't say, well, you told me not to change it. I went right into healing and deliverance. And then last week, I wasn't even here. And God said, I didn't tell you you had to do it. I just told you to make it that service. Bethel is growing up. God is pruning you from me. You're going to get your deliverance through him and not me. Whether I'm here or not, you're going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. You're going to get healed. And if you are disappointed that I'm not here, you're going to walk out disappointed. But if you walk in and I'm not here, you say, whoa, God's about to move. Something great's getting ready to happen. Because you see, oh, y'all don't hear me. When God is in charge and he moves somebody out of the way, it's because he's about to show off himself. And if you can see that, you'll get a blessing that you did not count on. Bold conspiracy, open disloyalty, bold conspiracy. Absalom does not have legitimate accusations, such as the preaching of false doctrine or blatant sin. It's always something minute, some minutia, if you will, that just eats at the person's character. Like Jezebel wants to manipulate through control, flattering words. Jezebel wants to manipulate through physical touch, through lifting you and saying how great you are, knowing that the human psyche says that if you lift me, I'm going to kind of connect with you. You see? So Jezebel comes in and she manipulates by giving you what you want in the case of Absalom and Naboth's vineyard. She solidifies her position. And by the time she sees that Ahab wants Absalom's vineyard, or Naboth's vineyard rather, and he says, Naboth won't give it to me, she says, go to sleep, baby. By this time tomorrow, you're going to have it. And she has him falsely accused and killed. Because Jezebel is a manipulative, cunning, demonically inspired spirit. Now, in Revelation, at the church of Thyatira, she has a specific name. Jezebel, but her manipulation comes through sexual advances. The Bible says that she has been able to seduce the people through the prophetic gift. Through the seduction, she was able to take them to bed. Why? Because people are always highly susceptible to prophecy. Especially now, because all the prophecies are always geared towards something good. See, I can guarantee you, you wouldn't have so many people wanting to be prophets if they had to be like Jeremiah. If God woke you up and said, are you my prophet? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm your prophet. All right, I want you to wear a yoke around your neck up and down the avenue. God, I just had a haircut. No, don't care. Or Ezekiel, get up and make some special bread and put horse dung in it. Cow dung. Human dung. And bake it. I'd be like, Lord, I don't even eat chitlins. If you want me to eat that bread? Nah, I don't think so. That kind of bread, hot sauce can't help. But every prophet of God had to go through something that established that they were qualitatively different. Not today. All you got to do is get somebody to come to you. God's got a car in your future. God, and praise, I feel him. I feel him right now. You're to go up Old York Road and then to get onto Eastern Road and get to the new Lexus dealer up there across the street from the Pep Boys and go in and use my name and say, Prophet so-and-so said that this is my car. And then walk out and put your hands on it. Touch it with your hands. Lay your hands on it. And then step back and watch the salesman come and give it to you. I said this the other day. You're not claiming the house. You're claiming the mortgage. You're not claiming the car. You're claiming the payments. But that's what it's become. So Jezebel came into Thyatira and used that particular gifting to manipulate the men into bed. Now, the Bible doesn't say it was just the men. It just says folks went into bed with her. And given the sexuality of our culture today, and since those churches in Revelation 2 and 3 are indicators of the church age today, it is quite possible that Jezebel can sleep with women. In her quest to rip the church from the hand of God and make it manipulable for Satan, she gives the human what they want: sexual gratification, individual greatness, and a sense of belonging. And like that spirit, the Absalom spirit will lead you to a church split. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 11, and with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity or their innocence and knew not anything. So that means the Absalom spirit will beguile the people who don't know the reputation of Absalom. Absalom was a murderer. He killed the rapist of his sister. He was disobedient to his father and refused correction. So he sits outside the city gate to split the kingdom. This spirit comes into a church, especially in a Pentecostal church. You never find Presbyterian churches where people become frustrated with the pastor and go start another church just like the one they have. They'll leave and go to another Presbyterian church or another Methodist church or another Episcopal church. But us, we'll walk out. Lord is leading me out. He leading me out. I can't follow Pastor Lambert no more. Like Absalom, there's no evidence of an improper life, no evidence of false doctrine. You just don't like the decisions I made. So you go out, and the Lord is leading you out, and I'm going to call my church Greater Bethel Deliverance International Church, and I'm going to put it two doors down from where you are. We're the only people that do that. I would hazard a guess that 30 to 40% of our churches in Pentecostal arena are started by Absaloms and Jezebels who beguiled people to come follow them. Number 12, Absalom's actions bring judgment on the rebellious group who left. There is a moment of blessing There is a moment where things are smooth, but ultimately judgment will come. Because it was started in the wrong spirit. We are in a battle, and the devil's not laying around watching us grow. He's fighting in every direction he can. Paul tells the church at Corinth, watch this, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Brethren, I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual people, but I had to talk to you in the fleshly sense. I had to convey the truth of God to you as a baby. I fed you with milk and not with meat because you weren't able to bear it. Even now, as I write to you, you still are not able. For you are yet carnal. He said, because among you there is envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and function as humans? For while one says, I'm of Paul, another says, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Personality religion is an act of carnality. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos waters, but it's God that gives the increase. Neither is he that plants anything, neither is he that waters anything, but it's God that gives the increase. Now he that planteth and he that waters are one. Isn't that great? There's no competition with people who stand behind this desk. We're one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are his building. Isn't it amazing? When you look at the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 10 says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you. Now, I understand what Paul is saying here, but there are times when we see Scripture differently. But it's not to create a schism.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Spiritual Warfare, or the program number 04219P. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294, and on the Word Network Monday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Today's culture needs the impact of the Word of God, and those who are called are tasked with handling the Word carefully. If you are one of the called, we invite you to get equipped at the next Making of a Minister training session with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Pastor Brian Weatherspoon. You'll learn biblical and practical strategies for crafting sermons that are relevant to the body of Christ today. The Making of a Minister is taking place Saturday, June 15th at 10 a.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Admission is free, but you must RSVP to attend. Call 215-885-2585 to register today. That's 215-885-2585, or visit BethelDeliverance.org for more information. Ministers, come and learn how to challenge the culture through substantial teaching from the Word of God. We'll see you there.